The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We're going all the way to Jamaica today. So we're going from Thailand,
I want my brethren.
Trinidad.
I want to Jamaica. I like my bourgeois, you know. I like a bourgeois, you know. I like a bourgeois. A Louis culture and them fellas, them, you know.
Yeah, we need to. Yes, yeah. You know.
Now make I come across the HH too slap, you know. 20 minutes after 12 o'clock, the digital world is in full swing. Davey Mariam are the control boards for the hour. And Karen Rose, it's over to you.
Yes, so every single Friday, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., Freedom 106.5 turns into the digital world. And today we're going to be diving into a powerful and overlooked topic. The first of our guests, we're going to be diving into insider threats, those hidden risks that don't come from hackers from across the globe, but from right inside your organization. And joining us, as I said, we're going to be going all the way out to Jamaica, is no stranger to the show, one of the most respected voices in cybersecurity across the region, Mr. Junior Gilpin. Hailing all the way from Jamaica, Junior is a certified data protection officer at the GRC and IT audit specialist, and he's also a senior security engineer at 800 Tech. He also serves as the director of education at the ISC Caribbean chapter, where he leads efforts to train and build the next generation of cyber professionals. Today, we're tapping into his deep well of expertise to understand the real dangers of insider threats, how even the best employees can unknowingly put your business at risk, and why security training isn't a luxury, it's a necessity. So let's welcome back to the show a man who is always on fire and has all the insights, Mr. Junior Gilpin. Junior, how you doing, boss?
I'm doing okay. Thanks for having me again. Such a pleasure. You know, every time I hear those big welcome or those big introduction, I feel like I got to put on a big performance today.
Anytime you're on the show, we got to welcome you to the show nice and proper. Listen, I'm hungry right now, you know, and all I keep thinking is, my Jamaican spot closes at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to have time to head out there and get some oxtail after this.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good. Because I'll be over there in Trinidad come next week, because I'll be on the ground with the guys from 800 Tech. So I'll get to try out a lot of the stuff that you guys have.
But hey.
not those cockroaches I saw you showing in Cambo.
Yo, enjoy Trinidad, get a double, get a roti, and enjoy everything, man. Enjoy everything. But nah, them tarantulas and locusts, again, to me, I seen it, and the first thing I thought was, this is crazy. Like, I'm never going to try that. I'm never going to eat it. But what I thought was crazy, right, is look at how people in Cambodia, like a place you don't even think about, you could order bugs to eat at the side of the road and pay with QR code payments.
Yeah.
And we don't have every single pan chicken man on the corner, every single doubles vendor on the corner. We can't pay digital payments with these. And it's not that, you know, we have some solutions, but even what we do have to facilitate more digital payments amongst just the regular common businesses, we're not doing enough to build that trust to get them comfortable with the technology to even consider using it. But like I said, I'm out in Asia, I'm out in Cambodia, and I'm watching people in their 70s pull out their phone, QR code payments. So it's not an age thing. People can adapt. But what are we not doing that the people in Cambodia, a place you're not even thinking about, what are they doing and how are they getting it right?
I think they are more, we call it adaptable too when it comes down to technology. Technology adoption is way more advanced in these countries, because I've been to China with my pocket full of cash and I almost die for hunger, because ain't nowhere in China really takes cash. So it was a challenge for me. So once you travel across these countries, you realize that there's a lot of difference in the way things are done. Because even here in Jamaica, a lot of the vendors on the road, they do take payment, because Sagicor offers that facility to them. So you can go to a vendor and just tap your card and go to the gas station, go to even the chicken man on the road and phone cards and stuff like that. So that is something that's being fast-tracked here. So it's not that bad here, but as I said, different country, you get different.
And that's, you know what, and this is why Jamaica is considered the leader in this in the region right now, because there's a lot more things that they're pushing that they're more serious about. And I think Jamaica has become that that country to follow and try to emulate, because you can't go, like, when you come to Trinidad, right, and you're going to all of these spots, like, if it's a fixed establishment, like if you go to a roti shop, the majority of them will take card. The majority. There are some that are not going to take anything other than cash. But if you go by the doubles vendor, anybody that's on the streets selling food, nobody has any form of digital payments. And we do have these things. But again, when it comes to just the education of technology, doesn't matter what it is, cybersecurity, digital payments, we're just not doing enough to bring these people up to speed and get them comfortable. But you know what? Let's get into today's topic. And let's start from the beginning for the people who aren't even thinking about insider threats in the organization. So just break down for us, you know, what exactly is an insider threat?
All right. So in the simplest term, an insider threat would be someone, could be a contractor, it could be an employee, it could be anyone that is affiliated with your organization that has access to systems or data or even environment that may cause harm to whatever systems you're working on. For example, I'm going to go at the lowest level, probably a groundsman, for example, working on the ground, planting, doing landscaping, but your fiber cable is run along a certain line. He doesn't know that. So he gets a trapped and start digging up. Boom. Both fiber lines are burst. Your systems are inaccessible. So we look at that and say that's a denial of service. It may not be a denial of service attack, but your services are no longer accessible. And because your employee wasn't aware, he probably would have gotten that to happen. We can even go further. It could be a disgruntled employee, because this would be a more advanced case now, where you have a disgruntled employee that has some friction with the organization and decides that, hey, before I leave, I'm going to delete everything that I worked on. I am going to copy all of this data and bring it over to wherever I'm going to work. Because I've seen a lot of cases of that happening here in Jamaica, where someone leaves an organization and deletes like an entire drive of data. We're talking about terabytes of data. Yeah, so if the organization didn't have backup, which was a mechanism that we would have put in place to mitigate the same insider threat, then you would have probably be at a loss, as you'd be scrambling to find where you're going to get back all that data from.
And you know, those are some examples that, you know, people don't even think about today, because we're taking more, putting more digital solutions into your business. And we don't always fully understand, you know, what we're bringing into the organization. Okay, we just added a cloud service. We just know it's storage, but we don't know what some of the risks are with coming with that, you know? So like, what are some of the common things that you see employees or employers bumping their head with when it comes to, you know, I guess the training and adoption for insider threats?
All right, so all right, one of the things I come across a lot, because I don't really want to put any stigma on Jamaica, but Jamaica is known for latching scamming, and we have a lot of people here in Jamaica, right? No, you have a lot of people. Even recently, there was a case with Sutherland Global where there was two staff from Sutherland who were basically reselling tickets that they were supposed to be selling for a Taylor Swift concert. So they sold over, I think, 600,000 US worth of tickets.
Wow.
Sutherland actually lost the contract with the sporting organization, the promotional organization, and is now taking those individuals to court, because there's a lot of things that these individuals that has access to the system can do. But if there isn't any control in place to limit the access, because, for example, you're an agent, a customer service rep, which means you should only have access to certain amount of the customer data. You should have access to like financial data and stuff like that. But in many systems are implemented where these persons have unlimited access to a lot of resources, which they can manipulate, which they either exfiltrate by sending out or cause harm by either corrupting or deleting based on the intent of the user.
Yeah. Wow. So it sounds like there's a threat to be more dangerous than external threats. Is there some truth to that?
Yes, there is, Scott. Because when you look at it, insider threat is something that would have stemmed from, for me, an insider risk program. So my insider risk program is something that the IC chapter and even us at 800 Tech is trying to push. It is third-party risk management, because these persons are contractors and employees who we have to give them access. For example, we're implementing, let's say, a payroll system, right, within our organization. Now, a lot of these systems now come as software as a service, which means the vendors that create these software will need some level of backend access. But there isn't anyone within the organization that's monitoring these access to ensure that they're not doing what they're not supposed to do when they get
right.
So that is where the problem comes in, because even what we saw probably a year ago with CrowdStrike and Microsoft, it is because of that third-party agreement why CrowdStrike was able to push a patch to a lot of Microsoft devices, which actually broke a lot of services without Microsoft knowledge. So if you don't manage these third-party vendors or these contractors, you're setting yourself up for a lot of issues as it relates to insider threats.
All right, guys, we seem to be having a bit of technical difficulties at this time. I'm going to do a quick restart, and I will open back the Zoom link. Give me like 2 minutes, and then you all can rejoin. All right, we're having a little technical challenge with you guys at this time. So let me just do that, and then we'll restart. All right? Thanks again.
I want to go big people party, party, party. I want to go big people fan, big people fan. I want to go big people party, party, party. I want to go all inclusive fan. I want to go big people party. Done by the door. Realize I have to pay more. I have to get in, because this fed not missing me. It's not missing me. I want to go big people party. Make the music take over me.
I want to jump up all day, all night. I want to wind up all day, all night.
Me girl call and ask if I leave home. Well, I tell she a real close. Girl, I almost did. All inclusive fed. Yeah, tonight go her real vibes. This crowd here go be real nice. Can't find me ticket. I done by the door. Realize I have to pay more. Real high and a real tight.
one girl come and hold me. Like pressure on chain, we go break way. The company girl are coming. Keep that bumper rolling. Ring ting, I say, girl, give me harder. Slow it right down now, give me faster. Be winding me, chipping, make room. Give me a little excuse. I was by the door. Yes, I have to pay more. I want to go big people party, make the music take over me. I want big people party, a liquor up inside me. Head back down a real high and a real tight. Man a real high and a real vibe. Me girl call her not safe, I leave home. Well, I tell she a real close. Girl, I almost the all-inclusive fit. Yeah, tonight go her real vibes. This crowd here go be real nice. Can't find me ticket. I done by the door. Realize I had to pay more.
Tell me that done. The drinking, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that done. The walking, don't tell me that done. We fretting, don't tell me that. How she whining, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that done. The lying, don't tell me that done. The jamming, don't tell me that done. The drinking, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that done. The walking, don't tell me that done. We fretting, don't tell me that. How she whining, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that done.
Sweet girls just whine for me. Bubble up your waist, girl, just grind on me. I love how you're taking your time with me. Smooth like you wanna have my babies, yeah. Girls, just whine for me. Bubble up your waist, girl, just grind on me. I love how you're taking your time with me. Ooh, like you wanna have my babies, yeah, yeah. We packing up now, so move along. Did you laugh? We packing up now, so move along. Did you laugh? All right, no.
Don't tell me that. 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 Don't tell me that.
right, guys, we just had a slight glitch in our technology here. It's just about 20 minutes on the upswing to 1 o'clock. Some extended time will be granted. Well, I think this interview concludes at 1. So we have about 20 minutes to conclude the interview, and then we start another one right here inside the digital world. Karen, it's over to you.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, sorry about that, but we are back. So, Junior, what I wanted to know is you've seen quite a few cases of insider threats. I mean, you don't have to give us specifics or the name of the company, but what would you say is one of the worst cases that you have personally seen? And I'm asking that because I want people to understand the magnitude of what we are talking about today.
All right, so fraud, theft, destruction of data. There's a lot of things that I've seen stemming from insider threat. Because as I said, I've been in quite a few industry and I've seen a lot of stuff. That, because for example, one of the things that was common here in Jamaica for a while was the credit card theft thing, where persons usually try to, you know, get person's credit card information and then sell it on or pass it on to somebody that may use it for malicious things. So at the end of the day, you're running an organization where there is a financial aspect to whatever it is that you're doing, and persons aren't restricted from accessing such financial data. That may cause a problem in terms of what they do, because we can't really say that, okay, they're working for us, so they're not going to do that. We can't say that, and that is why a lot of organizations basically implement zero trust security within their environment, because at the end of the day, they don't really trust anything, anyone, but their processes.
Right. Now, we have a lot of small business owners that listen to the program, right? When it comes to insider threats, how does insider threats affect small businesses differently than some of the larger organizations?
All right, so in larger organizations, I think there is usually processes or I would say controls in place to mitigate some of these insider risks, because larger organizations usually have, you know, even a small IT team that can maybe look at some of the simpler, the general IT or ICT controls that may mitigate some of these risks, while a smaller organization may have just a guy who comes in to fix whatever issue they have whenever they have an issue. Now, there isn't anyone that's constantly monitoring your environment, so we don't know if the employees are transferring data or sending out their information or selling whatever information. We don't really know what's happening unless we actually go in and look at the data, which is what a lot of small business usually do not do, because I think they look at the cost factor when it comes down to employing somebody for IT.
Now, absolutely, and that's always a big one. That's always a conversation where I think there needs to be more education around the pricing of security services, because it's one of those topics where when you speak to any small business owner about it, they hear cybersecurity and they automatically assume expensive. They don't think anything else. And because they automatically assume it's expensive, they don't even begin to do the research to start to ask the questions to see what it's going to cost. And they're just, you know, again, they believe that they're too small for anybody to do anything with them, but they don't think about the insider threats, as you've been pointing out.
Yeah, and a lot of the times they will say that we are small, nobody wants to do us anything, we're just a small company. But one of the things I always said to persons, because we talk cyber, and cyber is the big thing, but cyber is only stemming from information security. And that's something that we should put to the smaller business to let them know that, hey, it's not really cyber security, because you don't have all the digital resources or the digital systems that would require advanced cyber security, but you still...
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Here we go. Recording in progress.
There's a world out there that we should see. Take my hand, close your eyes.
Ladies and gentlemen, sorry about that. We are back. Murphy's Law. We had some technical difficulties, but we are back with Junior. Junior, sorry we got cut off and you were finishing a thought. I don't know if you remember what you were saying last.
Well, what I was saying, what were we talking about?
insider threats with small businesses. And they think more about the cost, so it prohibits them from looking at
the solutions. Yes, I think that the overall cybersecurity is stemmed from information security. So the thing is, a lot of these organizations are still paper-based. And while we look at cybersecurity as being digital, information security can lead to even greater threat than cybersecurity because you have a lot of information line out, like employee records, for example, name, date of birth, banking info, and all of those stuff. That could lead to identity theft and a lot of stuff that could impact an organization. So, as I said, it doesn't really have to be cyber as in, oh, yes, you have all the servers and all the systems and all the databases, but you still have a lot of information that needs safeguarding. You understand? Because here in Jamaica, a lot of the government agencies are moving from paper-based to digital. So there's a digital transformation, but in the process, we still have to secure all those physical files to ensure that we have to ensure that they are disposed of properly when they reach the end of the retention period and all of that stuff.
Right.
So there's a lot of stuff that organizations need to factor in and not just the computer systems.
That's a very good point. Now, because a lot of these organizations are still paper-based, you know, how often do you think insider breaches go unreported or even unnoticed in the smaller businesses?
Well, a lot of the times, you know, it goes on unnoticed for probably years, probably until somebody comes forward and say that, hey, I've lost this, or that happened, or you see where, because I've seen here in Jamaica where paper-based organization, we're losing like millions yearly. And after we went through and did an audit, we basically realized that the person that was doing the accounting was actually cooking all of the siphoning off millions annually, doing whatever.
Right.
I don't know, but the organization was losing. And I've seen that happen in a lot of cases. There was also a breach in the Caribbean with one of those big companies where they said that the employees, I think, stole $130 million. And someone in IT involved, they said that there was a system administrator involved. So as I said, you have to look at who you're giving access to and what level of access they are given and who is monitoring what they're doing with that access. So there's a lot of stuff that is happening as it relates to insider threat that we may not look at it as an insider threat, but it is. It was an act of.
Right. Now, let's dive into a bit of the psychology and some of the motives behind insider threats. So, you know, do you believe that that stress, burnout, or even dissatisfaction can turn good employees into security risks?
I think so, because I'm going to give you a small scenario. So I was working at this contact center where we're in charge of building out the network. We built a fine network, working well, got a lot of praise for doing our great work. So Because I'm more of a project guy, so I'll do like a year and 6 months with an organization.
Yeah.
And if there isn't any more project, I'm just going to move on to another organization to try and execute, because I don't really like to be stuck in that loop doing the same thing over and over again.
Right.
So after we left, somebody called me and said that the guy that's there from your team, he's basically holding the organization ransom because he's the only one with access to the network, and he feels that he should be promoted to IT manager and not some new guy. So, yeah, because he said that he's been there for a while and they're constantly overlooking him. So, no, he's not giving anybody access to anything.
What?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that happened that we see, and this is why we'll say to an organization, while you have your IT team, it is always good to engage in with probably a managed service provider or probably somebody in the IT service management to oversee all of that. You understand? To ensure that if your IT guys needs to be moved on, the transition can be easy because everything would be documented and there would be persons at a higher level with access to say, okay, these guys should get access. But if you're going to leave everything to that one IT guy, you're in big problem.
That's insane. That's something I don't think I've ever thought about, but well, it just makes so much sense.
That has happened here in more than one case, because I think job security is why a lot of people do what they do, because they want to be in their job, so they keep all that information to themselves. Because I've done audits already where there is this big enterprise network, but there is no documentation. Nobody knows what device is what, except for the network administrator. So I did when I went in and did the audit, the first finding was for the organization to basically contact a network provider to do a documentation for the network, because if that guy leaves, the topology leaves with him.
Right.
So these are some of the things. You have persons in accounting, persons in whatever customer service that have this huge level of access, and when they leave with all of that with them. And that's a challenge for the organization, because you have persons leaving the organization and telling persons that, oh, it's because I was indispensable why at the same time you're using the company's data to hold them at ransom. That is the only reason why the organization hasn't progressed beyond you leaving.
That is absolutely insane. Again, that's something I've never even thought about.
That's something I've experienced. So it's wild out here, man.
Yeah, like I said, I'm shocking. So, you know, now that you brought that up, you know, how can companies start to pick up on early warning signs of a potential insider risk?
All right. So for me, I usually look at all the factors, right? Because what we do is we go into an organization, we understand what it is that you guys do, what it is that you're trying to execute. And then we try to understand how comfortable are you with persons. For example, let's say we're working with, let's say, a computer servicing or someone who sells computer. So we want to know how comfortable you are with someone going out and losing some computers or someone working with you, stealing some computers. If that's something you're comfortable with, then that means your, what would I call it, your risk tolerance is very high. So we don't want to force you to change what you have accepted. But if it's something you want to change now, then we'll show you ways in which we can implement solution to minimize the potential of these things happening.
Right. Now, do you think that the culture that companies create, do you think that is a big, that has a big impact on creating insider threats?
Well, there is, you know, I think it does, you know, because as I said, I've been exposed to a lot of stuff, and I've been in organizations where typically we go in, we would like to implement the role-based access control, access control model. So based on your role, you will get access. But then we go into organizations where there is the discretionary access control, because I create a file and I decide who gets access to it. But that's not the way it should be, because of the data that's contained in that file, you should not have the authority to dictate who gets access to it. But it's happened, and we see it happen constantly, where a person is saying, oh, because I ask him to do work for me sometimes, so he needs to access these files. But there's nowhere in his job description that says that he should have access to HR payroll files.
You see, and this brings up a key point, you know, because again, these are things that a lot of organizations, especially the small organizations, things that they don't typically think about, you know. So talk to me about the training for insider threats. Is this something that you believe the smallest business to the enterprise level or organizations, is this something that everybody needs?
All right, so initially I would have said no, but based on what I've experienced over the past, let's say 5 to 6 years, that's even something I've encouraged Schofield and the guys at 800 Tech to push to ensure that we train the staff along with other members of the organization, because the thing is, there's a lot of stuff that the employee can do to mitigate these risks, and there's a lot of stuff the employers can do, but nobody can action anything unless they're aware of it. So
right. This
is why we kind of now say, okay, it's okay to push training right across the board to everybody, not just management, but even the line staff to know, to be aware, because they have social engineering, which is a common practice where someone may come and ask you some questions and you just give information voluntarily, not knowing that this person has malicious intent for the information
right. They
just received from you. So we try to train them and let them understand that these are some of the things, don't click on these links, don't do this, don't do that. So I think the training is important right across the board.
Across the board. Now, I have two final questions before we wrap up. So what I want to know is that if a breach does happen with an insider threat, you know, what is one of the first things a businesses should do to mitigate the problem?
All right, so it all depends, you know, because a lot of business may have a security plan or have a security program, but there is not an incident response plan attached to that to know what to do in case something happens. So
right. For
me, if it's a case where you have qualified person, is to let them start. I think secure all of the data they can secure as it relates to that breach, because it's something that may end up in court. In Trinidad, they may also want to reach out to TET CERT to get them involved, because as I said, it may end up in court or be a legal matter. So you want to try and secure as much evidence as possible. Secondly, I'll look at basically, I'm not sure. The only thing I try to do is try to secure as much evidence as possible and then try to reach. Okay, yeah. Probably secondly, I try to reach out to one of these cybersecurity guys. It could be 800 Tech. It could be somebody else. But reach out to someone with the required skill if it is that you do not have anyone on your team with those skill set to, you know, such breach.
So my final question for you is, what is your personal message to business owners who think insider threats could never happen to them? Because you know, that's the first thing everybody thinks and what they say. What's your message to them?
All right. So my message is really aligns to the mission that we're on at 800 Tech, is really to leverage technology to help solve a lot of these problems. But for the small business that are saying that we're too small and I'm just going to put it out there, that's a myth. Because even the smallest of organization can be affected. It may not be a direct cyber event. It can simply be one of these script kiddies getting access to probably a weaponized container or some malware and just point it towards your business. You may be a cafe, someone comes there to get a coffee, and just by connecting to your Wi-Fi, they start doing all sorts of malicious stuff. There's also the employee aspect of it. You're not too small to be affected once money is involved. Because once you make money, and that can be affected, I don't think you're too small.
And you know what? That is a powerful message to send. Because again, I don't think people consider that. Once there's money involved, you can be impacted. Julia, let us know where we can find you online to follow your journey and also with 800 Tech.
All right, so for me, I'm on LinkedIn. 800 Tech is also on LinkedIn and other social media. For persons that may want to call me, they can reach me at 686-0758 or 223, what's that, 8324. So they'd get to 800 Tech and then they would basically contact me to deliver whatever services they may need us delivering.
Okay. Perfect. Junior, once again, thank you for joining us today. Always a pleasure to have you. And we can't wait to have another conversation surrounding information security and cyber security.
Definitely. As I said, I've been in Trinidad for a while, so I've been seeing you guys around. So.
I know Scorpio will treat you nice. I know you'll treat you nice.
Yeah, they always do, so that's not a problem. That's not a problem.
Take care, Junior.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.